A city is stronger together. So let's hear from the business and community leaders that keep Milwaukee on the upswing. Presented by Horicon Bank, the natural choice for all your banking needs. Now here's the host that's always on the upswing, WTMJ's Jeff Sherman.
Now, to business, gentlemen.
Welcome to the Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. As always, a big thank you to the good community-minded people at Horicon Bank. I love this time of the year. How can't you? I love Summerfest. There's nothing like it. Nothing that really draws, 80,000 additional people daily to our downtown for three straight weekends. We know that the concert business is ever-changing, that's for sure. I think the way that we're all showing up at events is also changing, but you have that energy, you have that buzz, you have that excitement that the City of Festivals brings to the heart of the state of Wisconsin each and every year. We are the economic and entertainment engine in downtown Milwaukee. So downtown, yes, of course, gets most of the big gigs, big love, but the healthy arteries around the area, all the suburbs, all the neighborhoods, are strong because Summerfest shines. I'm a homer. I know it. I get it. I understand. But that's the reality. When Summerfest shines, all the areas around shine. Creates jobs, that whole civic pride thing that we talk about all the time. Increased connections to the other parts of the area, including colleges and universities. And I always say that Milwaukee is a college town. And if we want to leverage that college town nature that we're bringing, we have to have college town aspirations. So we want to be that beacon. We want to build those connections. That's what we're talking about today. The City of Festivals meets college town aspirations. It's Marquette on the Move. Dr. Kimo Ayun, the president of Marquette University. Sarah Pancari, the president and CEO of Milwaukee World Festivals, Inc. And Rose Howard, the director of enrollment, communication, and marketing strategy at Marquette, will all join us in studio to talk about the power of City of Festivals and building a college town. But you know what? We're going to take a little time, a little pause before we get into the City of Festivals and do a segment we like to call Two Up.
Now it's time for the
Two, count 'em, Two.
Two Up on the Upswing.
Two Up, two things in the business world and the community world that I'm seeing that you need to know about right now. Number one, Mr. Perkins Family Restaurant is a Milwaukee soul food landmark since 1969. It's officially up for sale. More than half a century, the spot on Atkinson Avenue, right in the heart of the Rufus King neighborhood, it's fed neighbors and really nurtured Black entrepreneurship, not only in the area, but the entire region. It's welcomed everyone from local dignitaries and politicians, NBA legends. Oscar Robertson back in the day used to have this as his favorite spot. So a lot of legacy at Mr. Perkins Family Restaurant. But now the owner, Sherry Perkins, who's 70 now, recently told JS Online that it's time. She's looking for a new owner who will honor the legacy and keep the community table going. So if you care about Milwaukee, you care about Milwaukee Black-owned businesses and our shared collective story, maybe this is the moment to pay attention to, right? Maybe it's time for that right person to step up and carry the legacy. Take a look at Mr. Perkins Family Restaurant. Maybe it's in your future, or you know a restaurant group that wants to continue to build on the legacy. Next up, we'll go national here and talk a little World Cup. The Levi's logo is always enough. This is a fascinating branding lesson coming out of the World Cup. Levi's was forced to hide its iconic name and logo due to sponsorship rules, right? This happens all the time in events. Space dominated at the World Cup by Adidas and Nike and others. The games were being played at Levi's Stadium in San Francisco. So Levi's had to cover up their name, had to cover up their logo. They could have just put a big piece of tape up on the stadium. They could have put a big, I don't know, placard. But what they did, they didn't make it disappear. They leveraged it and used their brand, used the silhouette, and covered their name with their logo, but just kept it all white, kept it all blank. And that's the power of brand identity. Now, you got to look it up and see this visually online, but you know what that Levi's logo looks like, the little creases, the silhouette on the bottom. When it's done right, it looks perfect, and you know exactly what it is without seeing the name. And the cool thing is, there's a Wisconsin tie here, right? The current CEO at Levi's used to run Kohl's here in Wisconsin. So I like this Midwest creativity. Levi's took things a step further. They changed all their social profile pictures to this mysterious shrouded logo. Cheeky response to FIFA saying, you know what, you're going to make us cover our name, we're going to cover it with our logo, but keep it super creative. I love this kind of stuff, and you got to hand it to Levi's for making lemonade out of lemons.
It's time for Marquette on the Move with Marquette University President Dr. Kimo Ayun on The Upswing.
Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. City of Festivals meets college town aspirations. I always say, as a passionate Milwaukeean, I think Milwaukee is a college town. I mean, you look at the number of kids, the infrastructure, the density, the city comes alive when students are back at home in Milwaukee. But to make that happen, you need the institutions, you need the people, you need the placemaking. All the stuff needs to be mixed together to make it all work. Joining us for our regular Marquette on the Move segment, President Kimo, Dr. Kimo Ayun, President of Marquette University, Rose Howard. Rose, thanks for taking time to be here.
Yeah, of course.
Rose is Enrollment, Communication, and Marketing Strategy at Marquette, and Sarah Pancari. Sarah, are you ready?
I'm ready.
It is Summerfest weekend. it is here.
It is.
I really thank all three of you for taking the time. So, Sarah, I wanted to just start with you. We talk City of Festivals all the time in Milwaukee. It's not an accident, right? How do you keep the loyalty and that philosophy of City of Festivals going, knowing that Summerfest is the anchor?
Well, Summerfest is maybe the crown jewel. At the same time, the extensive collection of festivals, those that take place not only the lakefront, but throughout the entire community, what I've recognized over time, and so Summerfest is 58 years old this year. Mexican Fiesta just celebrated their 50th. Yeah. I mean, these festivals have been curated and cultivated by generations of Milwaukeeans, often sometimes families, that there's a lot of voluntolding going on, I think, in many of these situations.
Oh, I like that term.
But the rich history of what we call the City of Festivals is born out of what I think is Milwaukee's compulsion to gather. We love a great time. We love great music, great beer, great food. And so we're always looking for a reason to celebrate the City of Festivals.
Yeah, I always like thinking, you know, go way back and you look at the beer garden concept. We are bringing that each and every day in a huge, huge optimized manner. The institutional pillars of this community built the beer garden so that they could gather with their families and sell their wares. We continue that in so many different ways. President Kimo, as you look and talk to prospective students and families, how much does Milwaukee's festival culture really play into their decision? Or are they just looking like, hey, just sell me on the campus, not on the region?
Yeah, it's a marriage. It's a marrying the city with the school. And so you can't separate either one. So when students are deciding, they're looking for a certain experience. And in fact, when Rose and I were just walking in, we met two students who are starting in the fall semester. And they're here walking around and they're talking about the Third Ward. And, you know, eventually they're going to talk about all of the festivals. The festivals give something for our students to be able to do. It's an activity. It's a way for them to have connection outside of the university. But more importantly, just to be able to have some downtime when they're studying, to be able to do something else that this city does so well.
Yeah. Rose, when you are getting questions on the enrollment side, what are families asking for? Is it that connection, or are they talking about safety and internships and culture? Obviously, it all plays together.
Yeah, you know, they're looking for so many different things. But first and foremost, you know, something we stress a lot is you're not just picking a college campus. You're picking a city to live in and engage with, and knowing that you can go to a festival one weekend, or maybe you go on a cheese curd crawl the next, which is really just trying the best fried cheese curd. You know, knowing that there are so many things that you can take part in. And, you know, something too is they like that their students, our families like that their students are waking up and they're not just a Marquette student, they're a citizen of the city of Milwaukee, and they get to contribute by going to Summerfest and engaging with service. There are so many things that students are able to do, and so this is a really large part of what we talk about when we're traveling around the country talking to students.
As I've mentioned often on this show, Kimo, I do the Marquette Mentors program every year, and I'm really proud this year. My mentee got an internship at Visit Milwaukee, and so she is immersed in her city. She's an RA. She's getting up every day and thinking about, all right, hey, this is more than just me. This is true community building and evangelism for the city she's calling home now, and that's really important. Yeah. Bringing that message forward. So we're on Saturday, the first weekend of Summerfest. On Thursday, you had the show Your College Pride Day. Talk to us about what that meant from your lens, Sarah, and kind of what that does in terms of positioning Milwaukee as a college town.
You bet. You know, for us, and we were talking about it as we were coming on the podcast, the idea that Milwaukee has such a rich cultural, that identifies with so many different schools. Obviously, Marquette, UWM, MSOE. Waukesha, you've got Carroll, and so the list goes on. And so for us, that bringing that idea of that camaraderie to the festival park and then really demonstrating, because everyone who comes wears their college colors. So it's a really fun way to not only introduce the idea of that this is a college town, but also to drive that engagement for each individual school.
Very good. Yeah, I love it because everyone brings their own colors, but they're coming for the shared collective experience. All right. I look back to, 2022, Kimo. Marquette held its commencement at the Summerfest grounds at the amphitheater. What did that moment say about the relationship between Marquette and Summerfest?
Well, first of all, I'll say we are grateful that they opened up their space for us to be able to have that event. We're coming out of COVID, and there were still restrictions in place. We had the opportunity to be in an open-air space, which allowed us to celebrate. There were some universities that were not having commencement activities that year. And so for us, it meant everything for our families and for our students to be able to celebrate just a tremendous accomplishment. And we like being able to have partners. We like knowing that's an opportunity, and we like exposing our families to an incredible space in the city.
Sarah, when you look at the use of the amphitheater in terms of non-concert events, is it commencement-type events that you're looking to lure there? Are there other opportunities to fill that space?
Well, we love, as you know, Jeff, we put $51 million into the amphitheater coming out of the pandemic, and so we are looking to have it used as much as possible. Certainly, commencements, we love a good mass, as you know. Irish Fest mass is always a highlight of the season. But really the festival park, which is 75 acres of communal space, we are seeking every opportunity we can to extend the use of the park. It is really, it's a one of one, we believe, in the world in terms of having that beautiful lakefront built space, purpose built for gathering. So the amphitheater and all the way up to the North Gate, we're looking for other ways that we can engage the public with the festival park.
And Sarah, you probably don't get a ton of time to tell your Milwaukee story. So I want to have you're a UW grad. But you worked at Marquette back in the day, right?
Yes.
We're all one in this college game, and we're all playing together.
No, that's right. And so when I worked at Marquette, I was thrilled with the opportunity. I came from Summerfest. I was a full-time Summerfest staff person and really found such an incredible experience working as a Marquette employee. I was in advancement, worked on everything from the Last Aspen Center to some work with athletics to the work with all the different variety of colleges. So I loved my Marquette experience, although it wasn't as a student. I will say that my great misfortune that I inflicted upon myself was that I did not seek another degree. I wish I would have when I was a Marquette employee. It's such a rich such a rich tradition of academics.
Never too late to
that,
Sarah.
Never too late to do that.
When we come back, President Kimo, I want to get your thoughts on reunion weekend. I had a lot of friends returning a couple weekends ago. Have some good insights there. This is Marquette on the Move. This is The Upswing. You're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. It is Marquette on the Move, always one of my favorite shows. President Kimo, I was back on campus a couple weeks ago. Actually, we did a 5K together.
Yeah,
great job. That was a great way to start.
I might have done like 4.5.
All right. Yeah. Oh, it was a beautiful day, though. I just reflecting on my Marquette reunions, as someone that lives in the area, that gets to have friends from all over the country come back to campus, I'm always so prideful on how they see Milwaukee. What did you hear?
Yeah, you know, what I hear is that, you know, our students, especially those that were here in the late 70s, the early 80s, says Milwaukee was a very different city back then. They talk about, and on campus, the green space, the activities, the cleanliness, access to the lake now, building up around the city, the Third Ward. They can see it because they're gone for 10, 15, 20, 30 years, and then they come back and are just amazed about what they've been able to pull together and to pair that with that Marquette experience. They all positive things from them.
Yeah, I think especially even some of my friends from Chicago who haven't been in downtown Milwaukee in maybe 10 years were just amazed at the energy on a Saturday afternoon because of the residential base that we've built up in the last 25 years. And they're like, wow, I was just in St. Louis last weekend or in Denver last weekend. And Milwaukee cannot compare to that juice.
Yeah, and a lot of them talk about the restaurant scene as well.
Yeah.
They talk about how that has grown and there are so many great places to be able to eat in Milwaukee.
Yes. So you have a couple new developments and donations to campus recently. Can you talk me through those? And I want to specifically then have you talk about the Bud Selig connection at Marquette Mentors.
Yeah. And so, you know, I guess I would go first is the Selig Jaffe mentorship program now. It is a gift that allows us to permanently endow and expand. This is a connection where our students have the opportunity to be mentored by others. Dan Jaffe, whose son came to Marquette, his mentor was Bud Selig. Mm. And so in honor of Bud and his father, he put into place this ability to have this just tremendous experience for our students. Then also the law school, the Office of Public Service, being able to, again, get a tremendous gift to be able to ensure that we can give legal access to people who otherwise would not be able to afford it or to be able to talk to an attorney about their needs.
Yeah, very good. All right, Sarah, I want to have you go through kind of the laundry list of everything that's new in Summerfest for 2026. But first, one thing that I know for certain with Summerfest is for many, it is that very first job, right? That very first experience. So, Rose, I'm going to start with you. Do you remember your first job and what was a key lesson learned at that first job?
Yeah, actually my first job, I'm originally from outside of the Los Angeles area.
Okay.
I worked at Regal Cinemas, so
Ooh.
I don't know if that's a chain out here in the Midwest, but I worked in concessions and I met individuals from all around. But I think, and this is still stands true today, is customer service is everything. And I learned that very quickly. Someone returned red vines because they weren't soft enough. And I learned in that very moment that you are kind to someone else. And that has carried with me. And I work in a very customer service heavy role now at Marquette. And so all the things I learned there have carried with me to today. So,
all right. Very good. Sarah, what was your first job?
Well, relevant to this conversation, one of my first job experiences was I was an usher at the Time Marcus Amphitheater.
Oh,
so I did work at Summerfest as a seasonal worker via working as an usher at the ballpark.
Oh,
so learned many things.
What, you were like 16, 17?
Mm-hmm, high
really?
School.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you did.
I worked,
wow, that's
I worked
amazing.
At the amphitheater
I didn't know that.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That's fun.
I know. I know you pretty
that's
well,
great.
Jeff. That's, I'm thrilled
yeah.
I could give you a little nugget. But, you know, you learn a lot as a young person. Hopefully that your experience gives you that. But I would say that one of the things I recognized was, especially Milwaukee and some of the roles that are entertainment-based, there's a big community that comes back and forms really important bonds and comes back to where that venue might be. In this case, it was the Brewers. And now it's Summerfest. And we see that this week. You know, we saw that this week as we saw a lot of people come back to make it all happen. And so I would say that the camaraderie is something that is really important to the workplace.
Yeah, that relationship building is so important. President Chemo?
Yeah, newspaper carrier.
Ooh,
Sacramento
nice.
Sacramento B.
All right, all right. Do you remember what you got paid?
You know, it used to be it was $5 a month.
Okay.
I think it was about like a dollar and a quarter that you get to keep, and then you gave $3.75 back.
Okay.
So my route was about 120 papers, so you know, made about $150
nice.
A month.
All right, all right.
That's pretty good. Yeah. That's like a change. That's a coin.
That's $5 a day.
Fair enough.
So I was a caddy at Blue Mountain Country Club out in Wauwatosa, and for a first, I knew nothing about golf, but I was very grateful the caddy master let me learn. As caddies, we got to play on Wednesday mornings, but being a caddy at age 15, just the opportunity to relationship build and also to manage your emotions, because you're seeing the game through the lens of players that take it way too seriously sometimes. And I had players, you know, throw their bags in the lake or in the river.
Oh,
and
my
like
goodness.
You'd have to be like, what do I do? You just smile and you move on and you say thank you. So those first jobs are just so important. And I'm so grateful for that experience. But I know so many friends that had their first job at Summerfest that exactly what you said, Sarah, they go back to that often each and every year. When we come back, Summerfest 2026 is here. What's new? What's next? Dr. Chemo Ayun, president of Marquette University. Sarah Pancari, the president and CEO at Milwaukee World Festival, Inc. And Rose Howard from Marquette University brings it all together from a student and enrollment standpoint. Welcome back to The Upswing. Joined in studio by three of Milwaukee's finest. We're talking Summerfest and Marquette University. Sarah, Rose, Dr. Chemo. So in terms of what is new this year on the grounds as we go into kind of weekend two almost, Sarah, can you give us kind of an overview of what you're really excited for in weekend two?
Yeah, I mean, we are – so every weekend, of course, offers an incredible lineup. And so really excited to host Ed Sheeran as well as Cody Johnson with Jess Murph and Post Malone. I can tell the team has been working on Post for a long time, so we were very excited to get that done. So rich, rich lineup of music. You know, one of the things that we're especially excited, which may be interesting to the university community, as someone who worked at Marquette, I worked closely with the Hagerty, and we're really excited to offer a curated visual art experience this year with Fuzz Pop Studios. So Milwaukee-based artists that come together and build a really it's significant in size, so it's visual, but it also there's an auditory component. Wild Space Dance companies can be partnering with us, so really, really excited about offering that, and then some great new food. So a couple new food vendors.
Okay.
The Wisconsin Plate is going to be offering all things Wisconsin, as well as new offerings across the grounds. Everything from Pepsi's Drips, which is very contemporary, where you make dirty soda.
Dirty soda, right? With all age demographics, for sure.
Right.
I have a 13-year-old at home, so I know the dirty soda.
It's interesting, those color combinations as well as the flavor combinations that can be made. But really excited, Pepsi Drips, as well as a new confection area down on the south end. So really lots of exciting new foods.
All right. I want to go through a bunch of just fun community building Summerfest questions with all of you. Now, Rose, I know how long you've been here?
I've been here since 2012.
2012.
Yep.
Okay.
So I came here to go to school and then.
Okay.
Graduated.
So you've had 10 years of summers to go to Summerfest.
Yeah.
What's the best show you've seen at Summerfest?
Ooh, in 2024, I saw St. Paul and the Broken Bones on the Briggs and Stratton stage. And it was really, I really liked it because it was so intimate. And I felt like I was right there with the artists, and it was just a blast. It would have been better with your dirty soda in hand. but that was my
this
favorite.
This year you can
yeah,
do that.
Yeah, this year I'll
there
be back.
I think St. Paul the Broken Bones are back, too.
That's what someone told me, but I couldn't find it, so I'll have to double check.
It's on U-Line.
Okay, they're one of my favorite bands. So,
Chemo?
I'm going to go with 6 Foot Blonde, played at U-Line.
Here's why it is so special
for me is one of the guitarists for 6 Foot Blonde is someone I held when he was 1 day old in Sacramento.
Huh.
And he now lives in Indiana, and he reached out to me, and he says, so my band is thinking playing the Summerfest. Like, is this a real thing? It's the largest music festival in the world. I think it is. And so it was just great to see someone, you know, 24 years later sitting on the stage playing, and this connection from both being California and now both being in the Midwest, and now they're touring around the country.
Yeah.
That's great. Sarah, you probably get asked this question all the time, but I'm going to ask it again.
Yeah, no, and I would tell you I give a different answer every time because there's so many great shows. Thinking of 2024, I think it was 2024, I had not really invested in Cold War Kids until that point, but that was an excellent show at the Miller Lite Oasis. It was the last day of the festival, which, you know, as we complete festivals on our team, you know, having a safe and successful event is always a big W. So Cold War Kids in 24 was a good one.
I mean, there's so many for me, but last year I was finally able to see Ben Rector. And I loved Ben Rector for so long, and my whole family was there, and I got to sing alongside my kids, and I knew every song. They didn't, so they kind of got to see Dad in a different element. and it was right, it was right before the NBA Finals, too, and he was going back to see OKC. So it just had this element of just love and family, and that's, I don't know. For me, that's what Summerfest is all about.
And I will say that the look on your face right now is probably one of the best parts of my job because people get this. They get this sort of – like they look beyond the room and they're thinking about some of the great shows they've seen or great people they've met. It's really something very special about the festival.
Yes. Well, it's run by amazing people and we're all invested in it and that's what it's all about, Sarah. So let's talk about dream bookings. And we can all answer this question. But Sarah, you think about it. You and your team think about it each and every day. Is there somebody that you're like, wow, from a concert standpoint, no matter what the stage is, that you're like, we need to get at Summerfest?
There's a few standing offers out there.
Okay,
I mean, there's artists that know that we will clear the decks in order to have them. But Bob Babish taught me this. You know, there's always a long list of people that we'd love to have at the festival, and we work every year to put the best lineup we can. This year in particular, having Garth, pretty special.
Yeah, and such a creative way too, I think, to extend the festival beyond the weekend and really create that anticipatory buzz that you want and need. When we come back, we will look into the vantage point of the Summerfest factor and the way people from outside Wisconsin first discover and reconsider the Milwaukee area. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. It is blending the city of festivals with the aspirations of Milwaukee as a college town. Dr. Kimo Ayun, president of Marquette University, Sarah Pancari from Summerfest Milwaukee World Festival, Inc., and Rose Howard, from the enrollment marketing strategy end at Marquette University. Rose, when families approach you and they're deciding on a college, especially from a parental side, what are the questions that you are getting that are really hitting harder than they were maybe 5 years ago? Is it cost? Is it safety? Kind of walk us through that.
Yeah, you know, it's a variety of things, but more now than ever, it's that professional growth that they're really wanting for their students as early as their first year on campus. And, you know, it's great because Marquette is ranked 6th in the country for job placement, and that a lot of that starts right when they get to Marquette through our mentors program, through all of these things that we've set up in our career center. But knowing that Milwaukee is a hub for so many large Fortune 500 companies and some smaller companies as well, and knowing that Summerfest and Visit Milwaukee and all these really wonderful organizations are employing our students early and setting them up to either stay here in Milwaukee or just really grow beyond that.
Do you feel like you're getting that ROI question more often now?
And I think it's not even just us at Marquette. It's all across the board, you know, in higher education. And I can confidently say that you will be set up well before you graduate with those professional growth opportunities in the city of Milwaukee.
Well, and along those lines, Sarah, how are you from a Summerfest side looking at the festival from a younger lens in terms of marketing and then keeping the relevance all year round?
So I would say that our booking team, which is independent and part of our organization is always looking, whether it be social media platforms, whether that be just suggestions from young people, but really anywhere that they can get an idea of what people are listening to, they are all ears and prepared to act on it. The best thing that happens, Jeff, and you know this story, is when you book a NoahCon before he's NoahCon.
But that's the
game that they're consistently in order to secure the best talent.
Yeah. Dr. Kimo, what does your summer look like beyond Summerfest? Do you have some travels in place? And what do you expect to – I know you're going to do some traveling. But what do you expect to gain from those travels and bring back to campus?
Yeah, you know, I'm fortunate. On this Sunday, I'll be heading off to Rome, where I'll be with 19 other Catholic Jesuit University presidents. Mm-hmm. And we're doing a pilgrimage of sorts and meeting, obviously people in Rome to talk about what we're doing here. So, you know, bringing back, it's always great to be with your peers who are doing the same work at different universities. And then after we leave there, I met the mayor of the city in which the Joan of Arc Chapel comes from, outside of Lyon, France. And he said, if you're ever in the neighborhood, stop by and I'll show you where it used to sit in the 1400s. Oh. So I'm actually going to stop by there and meet with the mayor and a group of students who are doing a two-part documentary series on the Joan of Arc Chapel. Hmm. So I'll be able to spend some time with them. So all of that is going to help me to bring things back to our campus.
Yeah, that's great. Make sure the social media team is with you, because I want to see that and hear that and get that research firsthand. All right, very good. Finally, a couple final quick-hitting questions. Rose, favorite festival food?
Oh, anything that's deep-fried. I know that's a cop-out of an answer. Okay, fried cheese curd.
Okay, so. All right, that's good. Sarah, can you pick a favorite food on the grounds?
Right. Yes to it all.
Yes, okay. Kimo?
I'm going to go with the shave ice.
Shaved ice. Ooh, that's it. You have a favorite flavor there?
Strawberry.
Strawberry. All right. Very good. What about the summer song that you just can't stop singing? I'm maybe taking a page out of Sandy Max's show here, but that's okay. Like the summer song that you just can't stop singing, Rose.
Rain Me In by Olivia Dean. One of my favorite songs right now.
All right. I love it.
You know, we haven't found it yet because our daughter has not found it at camp. So whatever happens at camp and the counselors like, I will soon be listening to on repeat.
I like it. All right, Kimo?
I'm going to have to go with Grease, you know, the opening song.
Oh, nice. The little Grease lightning action. Like, yeah, I like it. All right. Summerfest is here. Our city is a college town, and we're bringing it all together. Rose, Sarah, President Kimo, I appreciate your time and enjoy the rest of the summer.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Something new to the area. I want to bring this to your attention. So we live in this world, right, of dynamic pricing. And sometimes it's kind of tough to know, like, how much something costs. It's priced differently at this place and different platforms, different websites, even in stores. Things can have different prices. But there's this franchise, CD1 Price Cleaners, that just entered the Milwaukee market. Any garment dry cleaning, including pressed clothes, laundry, $3. Now, there's different price points for different types of clothes, but standard pricing, $3 dry clean with a one-day turnaround. They have 55 locations all around the Midwest. They have a new headquarters in West Dallas right on 100 A Street, so customers can stop in at that location, but they have 24/7 kiosks across all the area, Brookfield, Greendale, Kenosha, Wauwatosa, and the Shorewood area. All locations are open 24/7, 365. So it's automated satellite kiosk drop-off with a single standard price. Now, you're not going to get the great love and walk-in service that maybe you get at your local dry cleaner, but you are going to get standard pricing. So I'm really, truly intrigued by this model. And you live in Kenosha. The first location opened this week on Green Bay Road in Kenosha. Stop in. Let me know how the service is. And let me know for sure that it is that $3 price point. Next, I want to extend my condolences and prayers to the Gruber family. Nancy Gruber, one of the founders of Gruber Law Offices, passed away recently. I can tell you in my 4 or 5 conversations I've had with her through the years, she was a true pillar, just passionate, caring in terms of her philanthropy, the organization she connected with. Talking with her at Bucks games was amazing because she was so into the sport. So I want to just truly offer my condolences to the entire Gruber family, Stephen, Laura, and of course, David Gruber. Nancy, just a wonderful pillar in our community. This weekend, it's Father's Day. It is also summer solstice, the official beginning of summer, 3:24 a.m. on June 21st is when the summer season officially starts. Summer solstice weekend, it's the first weekend of Summerfest. We've been talking about that all show long. Incidentally, it's also my birthday, June 21st. I'm going to say that. So it's kind of weird to even be talking about this because you put those three intersections together, Summerfest, Father's Day, and birthday, and you know what happens? It is email overload, offer overload. I'm getting text messages already, like constantly. It's crazy. 50 cents off this. Stop in at a place that I haven't been in 4 years. Happy birthday. Show up and get a free this, a free that. It is nonstop. But you know what? It's pretty cool as well. And I'm looking forward, as I think I want to say this about birthdays. Because when it is your birthday, there is something really good about Facebook and this kind of community that we can say, all right, Facebook is bad for the world. It's bad for this. It's bad for that. The great thing about being on Facebook for a long time is you get reminded about friends and family birthdays. And if you do nothing else on your Facebook account, go to Facebook, look at the notifications and find out whose birthday it is, and then send them a quick message. It means a lot. I know it's super easy, and maybe it's not as meaningful as sending a card, but it is super important, and I'm really thankful for birthdays because so many people reach out because of our connections via digital media. So take some time this weekend, check your notifications, whosever birthday it is, send a message and say hello. And obviously, it is Father's Day. So whoever the father is in your life, the father-like figure, the mentor, reach out, say thank you, be appreciative. I want to say a big thank you to my dad for the support and love through the years. Everyone has a dad, a father-like figure in their life who has touched us in some way, shape, or form. Father's Day is here. Make sure you recognize and support the importance of fathers in our lives. Have a good weekend.